Kevin McCullough Radio.
And I just want to say thank you. I've been getting the nicest notes from those of you that saw me on Newsmax yesterday and Fox today and trying to fight the good fight everywhere. If you haven't gotten it, my brand new series at townhall.com, Decision 2020, we're going to be breaking down the race in a variety of ways. This is in addition to my normal syndicated piece, but be checking that out as well. And, of course, follow us on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, etc. But the throes of the elections are upon us. We are deep into the strategy to try to win. And I am kind of, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to talk to Kristen Tate about this. But when you've got Democrats basically calling America white supremacists, where do you go with that? Like, how do you stand and make a straight face for Americans to then vote for you? Like, you just insulted all of them. I don't know how that works. Anyway, we'll get into that with Kristen. And then John Catsimatidis is going to be here. We'll talk about Alexander Acosta. I started to say Ocasio-Cortez. Wrong person. But I want to get into some of the stuff that my next guest authored today. If you don't get the Bright email, you need to get it because it is full of information. I know they say that it's by women for women. I just think it's good journalism and good commentary. That's one of the reasons why I'm addicted to it, and I hope that you'll check it out as well. GetBrightEmail.com is where you can sign up for that. But Kelsey Bowler authors and edits the Wednesday edition. Kelsey, welcome back. By the way, I need to do this properly. She's a fellow at the Independent Women's Forum. She's a contributor to The Federalist. She is a podcast host of Problematic Women. She is connected to the Heritage Foundation and writes for the Daily Signal and also produces tremendous little docu-pieces for the Daily Signal as well. And what else do you do, Kelsey? I'm leaving something out, but I want to make sure I always get all of your credentials in.
At the moment, in addition to that, I'm just cooking up a bun in the oven.
Oh, that's right. Soon to be mom. So we got all of it. And you're here every Wednesday, so we're appreciative of that. So talk to us about the idea that these Democrats are going to continue down this path of saying nonsensical stuff and proposing outlandish policies. And you know, they don't have a lot of money, Kelsey. They're raising, you know, maybe 6 million, maybe 20 million, the top level guys. Meanwhile, Trump's got 105 in the bank. He's just going straight to the Rust Belt states, starting his, you know, general election messaging. They've got to fight all this out in Iowa and New Hampshire and Florida. Is it going to get worse? Is there going to be somebody that actually emerges with some sort of moderate viewpoint, or are they just going to stay in the crazy corner for now?
Unfortunately, I don't see Democrats getting any more moderate. And you're completely right. We have watched the shift in the past year on the left from, proposing policies that would be good for all Americans to really having anti-American rhetoric. And it's strange to watch so many people run for a president of a country that they basically claim to be very hateful. I think it's unfortunate. It's tearing our country apart. It's not the type of leadership we need, and their policies would completely bring us backwards. We have a historic economy right now that is working for all different Americans of all different incomes, of all different races and genders, and everything they are proposing would undermine that.
And by the way, everything you just said being completely true, the lowest income earners are seeing the biggest gains. So in the lower middle class and poorest class, in terms of income earners, they're getting the biggest raises. They're getting the fastest acceleration of pay of anybody in the country.
Right. And guess what? We are doing that without mandating $15 minimum wages.
Right.
There was a study that came out this week that found that 1.3 million Americans would lose their jobs if we mandated a $15 minimum wage. What we've learned from the Trump economy is that we don't need more government, we need less government. Because when unemployment is low, employers have to compete for good employees. And in order to compete for those good employees, they need to pay them more. And because of the tax cuts, because of the good economy, they are now able to do that.
Let's talk about a different subject that is obsessing a lot of the oxygen in the atmosphere that AOC and Nancy Pelosi and some of the other things aren't, and that is the census. When we talk about the nation's right to count every one of our citizens, and I've seen these arguments on Twitter over the last few days. No, we don't need to have a head count of citizens. We just need a head count of people. Isn't it? What's morally wrong? Because everybody's saying it's racist to ask the question, and I didn't know that Americans were of any specific race specifically. So I don't know how it's even tied to that. But how? What is the argument that it's morally wrong to count the actual citizens of the country accurately? Why is that a problem?
The allegation that adding a citizenship question to the United States Census, which we've actually had in our past, is racist is absolutely bizarre. This is a very basic question that we can and should know how many citizens live in the United States. We know House Speaker Nancy Pelosi accused President Trump of wanting to make America white again. This is far from the truth. And to be honest, I found this new poll really interesting, and it really shatters the narrative about the census question that you're hearing from the left. So this is a Harvard-Harris poll, not a poll done by conservatives. It found that two-thirds of voters and a majority of Latino voters, 55% of them, favor adding the question to the 2020 census.
Wow.
So if this is a racist desire to want to ask who is and isn't a citizen, why are so many Latino voters, minority voters, supporting it?
Well, not only that, you pointed out in the Bright email today that the Washington Times added a whole bunch of other majorities. Talk to us about all of the groups of voters that are in favor of putting the question on there.
Yeah, so we have 74% of rural voters, 59% of Black voters, 58% of urban voters, and 47% of voters who backed Hillary Clinton.
Hold on. You got half of Hillary's voting base?
Right. It's really only liberal voters who don't want to add the citizenship question to the census. And I think that just goes to show where they're getting their information from. Politicians like Speaker Nancy Pelosi, for anybody who takes a step back from this conversation over the census question or the citizenship question, it is common sense to know who is and isn't a citizen in our country.
One would think. All right, real quickly, earlier today, this morning, they blocked all of our paths to getting into our building, but the Canyon of Heroes hosted the World Cup team. And you and I spoke about the team a week ago. I was kind of digging the girl that sipped the tea in front of the English fans. I thought that was kind of cool. Now, Megan Rapinoe, we're not going to ever see eye to eye on probably anything. But what's your take of this debate and them suing the World Soccer Federation for more pay and so forth? Where are you coming down on that?
Well, it's hard to get this in quickly because it's a complicated question. Their allegation is complicated because there's a question is are they getting paid fairly from the World Cup, and are they getting paid fairly from the U.S. Soccer Federation? Long story short, women's soccer does not bring in the amount of revenue that men's soccer does globally. And the women's soccer team actually gets a higher percentage of the pot of money that they do bring in the World Cup than the men's do. It's something men get 9% of the pot versus women get 13%
It's just
that
the pot is so much bigger that they cite that 9% and what, the bigger balloon that it is to their, increased percent. Okay, actually, you did quite well for getting it in quickly.
Thank you.
But Kelsey, as always, thank you for your insights today. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
All right. Reader at all those places I talked about, but specifically the Daily Signal and on Twitter. Kevin McCullough, coming right back.